There's a good question, Sheila, to start me off with. Well, essentially, I suppose, you know, people take part in sport and physical activity at different levels. Those that are really enthusiastic and keen on it take part in sport and train on a regular basis. But then at the other end of the continuum, there are people who, I suppose, we're trying to persuade to move at all and to build some form of physical activity, whether that's sport or recreational activity or even occupational activity of the day, to try and build a little bit more into their lives. So the active living term basically suggests that the person values physical activity and incorporates it into their daily life in some way or other.
And what would that involve? I mean, what groups are you working with, and then how do you encourage people who maybe are limited or just don't enjoy any sort of activity or physical recreation?
Yeah, my work mostly, Sheila, to be honest with you, brings me into the area of people who, as you suggest, aren't as active as they might be. Now, many of them choose to be that way, and of course that's their choice, but most of them we find, you know the value of being active, but for one reason or other aren't active enough. Now, that could be due to a disability, health issues, and so on and so forth. For others, it might be just as simple as maybe they're not being catered for in their community or their local level. So I get invited in my work to try. Sometimes it's about developing a program. Sometimes it's about developing a particular type of game. Sometimes it's about adapting existing activities that exist so that it suits their interests, their abilities, their needs, and so on and so forth. If I might give an example.
Mm-hmm, please.
So about 3 or 4 years ago, Men's Sheds in Ireland suggested that they had a lot of members, and most of whom gathered on a daily basis, and from a social and mental health point of view, that's absolutely brilliant. But many of their members wouldn't be overly active in their daily lives. And one of the things we did was we developed a particular game for those men that they could play in their sheds or at home and so on and so forth. Now, pre-COVID, of course, because this COVID thing has had a disastrous effect on many people's work, including my own.
Yeah.
Community halls in many parts of the country were beginning to buzz with this particular game. We adapted it from a game that's played on board ships, and many people, many of your listeners might have recalled seeing on a movie, or those that were lucky enough to be on a cruise or something, a game where a disc or discs are pushed with poles or sticks across the deck of the ship to a target. And we adapted that game for indoor halls and so on and so forth. The men's shed in County Wexford, actually, who were introduced to it first, decided to call it Scooch, and that's where the name, that's what it's called to this day. Now, unfortunately, it began to take off in a big way, and then, of course, COVID hit us. So, for the moment, it's parked, but we're hoping that, you know, to get it out again when things are under control a little bit.
So, not to oversimplify it, but would a lot of your work be trying to compose or compile different types of games or reimagine things? Like,
yes.
It seems like quite a creative role, really.
Yes, and I love that you used the word simplify, because actually an awful lot of my work is about simplifying stuff that's already there. But I tell people, simplifying isn't simple. Simplifying involves creativity and involves a lot of imagination sometimes. And sometimes it just requires the brass neck, you know, just to say, well, let's put out this version of the game and so on and so forth. In a lot of cases as well, in our work with older people, we, because many older people obviously would be a little bit hesitant, I suppose I'd use the word, of the outdoors, you know, in terms of weather and, well, especially a day like today. And so many games that are played in the outdoors, and again, if I can give an example, the game of boules, French boules, mm-hmm. would be typically an outdoor game where heavy metal boules are used and thrown on beaches or sandy, gravelly surfaces and so on and so forth. But in the past, we've taken that indoors. You know, we've found a leather ball that's filled with sort of a sawdust, for want of a better word, and can be used in the indoor setting. But the ball has the same sort of flight and landing as the outdoor boules. And that's a very simple way of maybe engaging more people in a game that's not quite boules, but similar to it in many ways.
And I know that you've also established something called Fit Walk Ireland that's kind of trying to support people as well in this work that you do. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that goes back about 15 years, I think, maybe even more. And I suppose at that point, when you're a freelance consultant, you're always looking for niches and markets that are opening up and so on. And I suppose at that time we noticed that there was a huge increase in the number of people that were walking. Now, I think what changed was that previous to that, most people were walking for pleasure, but if you wanted to get fit, you ran. And our thinking on it was, and we're very steadfast in this, that you can also get fit from walking, but you might have to change the way you walk slightly and the intensity at which you walk and so on and so forth. So we wanted to promote walking, but it was walking for fitness. So we developed, I suppose, invented that brand, Fit Walk Ireland. And I have to say that in the past 5 years, or maybe a little bit more, that we're predominantly involved in that side now. Walking has become a hugely popular and huge industry in this country at the moment. Now, at the time, we were doing workshops around the country, encouraging people around their posture while they walked, their foot action, and so on and so forth. When we walk, generally, we tend to be economical. We don't move very much of our body. You know, it's the most natural and the easiest form of movement, really. But when you fit walk, we're trying to get people to move more bits and so on and so forth. And a lot of that then, of course, goes to the upper body, where arms and core and so on wouldn't be used in typical walking. But in power walking and in stride walking, the arms are used in different ways, but the upper body is engaged a lot. And what that means essentially is that, we're still walking the same distance, but because we have more of our bodies involved, then, we're burning more fuel, we're raising the intensity of it a lot. Now, that, I suppose, in many ways, that's been overtaken because 15 years ago, people thought we were mad trying to persuade them to swing their arms. And of course, now everybody is swinging the arms. So we've moved on. Now to encouraging people to take a pair of poles while they go walking.
See here that's something actually that Monaghan Sports Partnership and Cavan Sports Partnership have both started to try and introduce, and it was something that they were doing, I suppose, before COVID. And I haven't heard of this. I can imagine what it is, but maybe just explain to me what that is.
Sheila, we'll have to convert you. Poles were introduced into walking, I suppose, about 25 years ago. People that were engaged in hill walking began to use poles. Now, there was even a bit of a backlash to it at the time, people suggesting that using poles on the mountains, wasn't real hill walking or hiking, and that was damaging the ground and so on. But, today it's sort of normal practice. If you're starting to hill walk, it's sort of part of the first package that you buy now. You buy your rucksack and your gear, and either one pole or two poles is seen as standard equipment. About 15 to 20 years ago, a new type of walking then started, where people that were walking on the flat for fitness, in the parks, on the beach, across the grass, not on the hills, but on the lowlands and so on, but walking for fitness, began to use poles called Nordic poles. Now, they came from cross-country skiing. And again, if any of your listeners have a vision of a cross-country skier in the Olympics or something, they'll see, a guy or a woman with two long poles really viciously swinging their arms and pushing themselves along. And what happened, it's a strange story, is that these Nordic skiers, or cross-country skiers, wanted to train in summertime. But, of course, there was no snow, and they couldn't use the skis and so on. And just on trials, they started using the poles to push themselves along while walking. Discovered that their heart rates and their intensity was way up, and so the sport or the activity of Nordic walking was created. And it's huge across the world now. Now, the last 5 years has seen it beginning to grow in Ireland, and that's increasing at a good rate. So I suspect you're going to see an awful lot more by way of Nordic poles in both Monaghan and Cavan. And then, if I may, in our work, if I can take you back to that again, oftentimes we're asked to cater or to see, can we adapt stuff for people with health issues or mobility issues? And we had quite a lot of interest from people experiencing, let's say, with balance concerns. Yeah. Now, that might be because they're getting older. Maybe it's because they have Parkinson's or MS or something like that. But for one reason or other, they're not as confident as they used to be on their feet. And they tried Nordic walking, but the activity or the technique in Nordic walking, you're pushing yourself, you're pushing backwards against poles, pushing yourself forward. And you're also tied into the strap. Now, you can appreciate that if I have a balance problem, I'm prone to stumbling or anything, that neither pushing backwards or tied into a strap is safe for me. And so we explored and researched to see, well, had anybody thought of adapting Nordic poles for people that might be in any way worried about their balance? And came across poles that were invented by physiotherapists about 8 years ago, I'm guessing, in Canada. Now, these poles have, they're specially designed handles. That means the person doesn't have to grip too tightly. But most importantly, the poles are used forward of the person. So if you can imagine walking and then placing a pole forward of you each time you take a step and so on and so forth. Now, two things happen. One, that obviously gives you stability. But number two, think about it again. You're now using your upper body much more than you would if you weren't using the poles.
So, Frank, I suppose, what is your advice then now just during lockdown for the final few weeks, we hope, for people if they're trying to just get a bit more active? We've had an awful lot of people texting and saying that they're walking. So what is your, like, top tip?
Think fit walk, maybe. I would say that, wouldn't I? But think fitness walking, because you're right. There's been a huge increase in walking during COVID. That's been proven through research. But again, I watch many people walking, and again, they're accumulating the steps. I'm sure in previous programs, people have been talking about this 10,000 steps. So no doubt about it. When we walk, we're accumulating steps. That's good. But in a way, if I can use a car analogy, if we were a car, we're ticking over now. But the other advice is that within those 10,000 steps that we do every day, some of it we should rev ourselves up a little bit, you know, press the accelerator. Now, we can do that by walking faster, but sometimes that doesn't suit people. But certainly involve the upper body. Get the arms, get the shoulders involved, whether that's just arms alone or maybe over the next few weeks it's your chance to have a go at finding out more about pole walking, you know, whether that's Nordic or activators. We'd love to help in that regard, but people should go back to both Monaghan Sports Partnership and Cavan Sports Partnership, and they can link your listeners up with us if that's necessary.